The first reading today, the wise man asks the question, who can conceive what the Lord intends? And goes on to say that it is only with difficulty that we grasp what's on earth, but the things in heaven, who can search them out? So the question that we have to ask tonight is, do we want to do what God wants? We pray for that every day, but do we really even pay attention? Thy will be done, we say. Do we mean it? Think about that for a minute. Do you really mean that? For most of us, the answer is no. We want to do God's will as long as what he wants is exactly what I wanted anyway. Then what a convenient thing. Sure, I want to do God's will. But what when he asked me about something that I didn't really want to do? What if he tells us? It says, whoever knew your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high. In other words, we know the will of God because he has enlightened certain people, the prophets, the evangelists, the people who have told us the will of God. We look back in the Old Testament to the people that God had chosen for himself. And the prophets specifically told them, do this and don't do that. And what did they do? Exactly the opposite, over and over and over and over again. Look at Jeremiah. They literally came to Jeremiah and said, tell us, whatever the Lord says, that's what we're going to do. Jeremiah says, here's what the Lord says. They did exactly the opposite. Are we any different? I wish I could say that we are, but are we? In the gospel, Jesus says we need to hate everything. Now, if we have a teenager with a bad attitude here, hating your mother and father, your wife and children, maybe that sounds pretty easy. But we're not talking about teenagers with bad attitudes. Nor are we talking about hating in the way that we tend to think of hate. But are we detached? It's what the Lord said at the bottom, the reading. He said, anyone who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. That makes it pretty scary for an American, doesn't it? Possessions is what we are all about. It used to be a place called Toys R Us. Well, America, just possessions are us. Materialism are us. That's what we're all about. And it's stacking up more and more and more and more. We don't want to be detached from the stuff because we want more of it. Now, by themselves, most things are not necessarily good or bad in and of themselves. They're neutral. Having them is not a bad thing. But being attached to them is, because that makes them into a little bit of a false god. And if we are attached to anything or to anyone, we are not able to love the way that we're called to. So, put it in context of spouses. If you're attached to your spouse, and attachment is a selfish thing, if you're attached to your spouse, that means you cannot love your spouse with your whole heart. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It means you can't love them as much as you ought, because it's not a pure love, because there's selfishness that's there. The same is true with your children. Obviously, you're not going to love your possessions, but if you're attached to them, you can't love. The Lord came down and he said, love God with your whole heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? We know what God wants. He couldn't have made it too much more clear, could he? How are we doing? Are we loving God with our whole heart and soul and strength? Are we truly loving our neighbor? I'm not on any of that social media garbage, but the little clips that I see here and there of the absolute abominable things that people put up on there. Where's the charity? Where's the love of neighbor? My goodness, the name calling and the ripping on people and the lack of charity. There's no place in a Christian heart for this garbage. So we need to look at ourselves, because maybe you can look at it and say, well, thankfully, I don't do that kind of stuff. I hope you don't. But how about the gossip? How about the backbiting? Maybe we're not writing it on social media things, but then we talk to people and out the stuff comes because the mouth keeps flapping and the lack of charity comes out. Because the Lord tells us that what comes out of the mouth is from what's in the heart. So what's really in the heart? Is it charity? Is it love of God and love of neighbor? Are we really serving God with our whole heart and soul and strength? For a lot of us, even the idea of coming to Mass, oh my goodness, do I have to go? It's so boring. I hate it. Really? Why are you here? For Him? Because you love Him? Because you want to serve Him? Because you want to die to yourself to live for Him? Or because you have to be here, because you're forced by somebody to be here, or because God, who's so mean, said you have to be here. God said you have to be here because He loves you, because He wants what's best for you. Because what's best for you is to love God and to love your neighbor, which is, again, exactly the opposite of the American way, which says it's all about me. Selfishness is the opposite of charity. So you ask yourself, what if all of your stuff was taken away? This becomes an important question. Remember back in 1929, the stock market crashed and the suicide rate skyrocketed. Really? Because people lost some money? They were so attached to their money that they killed themselves. How attached to your junk are you? Are you willing to give things up if you have to? And some of we don't even have to. Maybe we just should. I mean, if you've got whatever, a storage container someplace that's filled with junk, as well as your basement, your garage, and your attic, get rid of some stuff. You've got way more than what you need. Get a moving truck, fill it up, and bring it to the poor. Give it to somebody who might be able to use it, or bring it to a junkyard. What do we need it all for? My mom used to have something that said, she who dies with the most fabric wins. Well, we can just take fabric out and fill in whatever else you want to put in there. He who dies with the most junk wins. Actually, you don't. It goes the other way. The more you're attached to, the longer you're going to have to spend in purgatory getting detached. Look at the second reading. Put yourself into this situation. There is a man who was a slave. Now, slavery that we're talking about here is not like what we tend to think about in America. It was a very different reality. But nonetheless, this is a slave who has run away. He has a conversion. And St. Paul is writing to Onesimus. Rather, Onesimus is the slave's name. So he's writing to Philemon, telling him to take his slave back. Now imagine being the slave. You've just run away. You've had a conversion, and now the Lord is saying, you need to do the right thing, even though it's really, really hard. Go back. Do something that's going to be really difficult, but it's the right thing to do. Would we be willing to do it? Onesimus was. He was willing to humble himself and go back. We hope and pray that Philemon was willing to take him back, as St. Paul said, more than a slave, as a brother, to treat him differently. But ask yourself, when it comes to doing the right thing, when it comes to doing hard things, am I willing to do it God's way? Am I willing to do what's right even when it's not popular, even when it's not easy? If we're going to say, thy will be done, we really need to mean it. Oftentimes in our prayers, we've learned these when we were little kids, thanks be to God, but we've never really stopped to think about what it is that we say. We just know all the words, and my goodness, the Our Father you can probably do in less than 10 seconds if you timed it. So yeah, you just said the prayer. Did you mean a word of it? Do we really want to do God's will? Because to do someone else's will means that I have to die to myself in order to do what you want. Now, for those of you who are parents, you do that every day. Especially if you've got little ones, you have to die to yourself. You have to serve those kids. And you do it out of love. You're not doing it because you have to, but guess what? You are a slave in a positive way. Again, not the way we tend to think of slavery. It's a slavery of love. It's one of charity. You are serving those people out of love. You're dying to self because you love them. So if that's what we're doing every day, can we take that to the next level? First of all, can you do that for your spouse? Because that is, after all, what you vowed to do. Interestingly, you didn't vow to love your kids. You don't have to. That just comes naturally. You vowed to love your spouse, because that doesn't come naturally. That can be the hardest thing in the world to do some days. So can you take the example of what you're doing with your children and apply it to your spouse? Can you love that person? Can you die to yourself to live for that other person, to serve that other person? Now can we do that for God? If I know that this is what my spouse would like, it's a good thing, but it's not what I really want to do, can I die to myself and do that for that person? Am I willing, out of charity, to seek the good of the other, to put the other one first, the other one before myself? And that's what both of you are supposed to be doing for one another. So it's not a one-way street, but each one of us has to look into our own heart and look at our own disposition. And even if your spouse isn't willing to do that for you, it's still what you're supposed to be doing for your spouse. Because that's what you vowed you were going to do. And you didn't say, as long as you do this for me, I'll do it for you. No, it was unconditional. This is what I'm going to do every day for the rest of my life. Now we're going backwards at this, saying, look at what you're doing with your children, see if you can apply it to your spouse, and then if you can do that, see what you can do with God. But it actually goes the other way. If you want to love your children more, love your spouse more. If you want to love your spouse more, love God more. And so if we want to look at how that is, look at Jesus. In the garden, he said, if this cup can pass me by, but not my will be done, but thine. Seeking only the will of the one he loves. Can we say that honestly to God? I just want to do your will. Whatever it is. There are some things we know because he's made it very clear. Because he has enlightened the evangelists and the prophets to be able to tell us his will. But when it comes to the practical day-to-day sorts of things, it's not always as easy to understand or figure out. It needs a lot of prayer. We have to spend that time with the Lord in prayer. It's like with anybody else. If you're going to love that person, you're going to serve that person, you need to spend time with them. Are we doing that for God? Are we putting him as the priority and spending the time and seeking his will? Trying to conform ourselves to his will. Because remember, that's what prayer is all about. Too many of us think prayer is give me, give me, give me. That's not what it's about. Prayer is conforming ourselves to God. And remember, when we're talking about God, he loves you. And he loves you perfectly, which means he only wants the very, very best for you. So to do his will is to do the very best. He's not going to ask even second best. He's not going to ask something good. He's going to ask the greatest good, the very best for you. So doing his will is only for our good anyway. We don't want to do it for a selfish reason. What can I get out of this? We want to do it out of love. So he's looking for our good. Our task is to look for his. And if we learn that from God, then you can apply it to your spouse, and then you can apply it to your children and beyond. That's what it's all about. But it really has to come down to that first point. When we pray the Our Father, do we really mean it? When we say, thy will be done, do we really mean it? That's what our lives are supposed to be about. The kingdom of God is going to come into this world. It's going to come through people like you and me who are striving to do the will of God, who are bringing the kingdom of God into the world. That's the only way it's going to happen. So our Lord taught us to pray. He told us exactly what is required. That's what he points out in the gospel. He said, first of all, whoever doesn't carry his cross and come after me can't be my disciple. And he says, which of you, if you're going to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, see if there's enough for its completion? Here's what it's going to cost to be a follower of Christ. Here's what it's going to require to be a Christian person. So if we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to call ourselves Catholics, are we willing to take up our cross? Are we willing to say, not my will, but thine be done? Are we really willing to conform ourselves to the will of God? That is the essence of what the Christian life is about. That's what we're supposed to be about. Calculate the cost. The Lord didn't hide it. He told us what it was going to require. We've done a pretty good job of ignoring all of that. It's time we look at it seriously and ask ourselves if we really want to do it God's way. Are we really serious when we say, thy will be done?